I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin McCarthy, no longer the Speaker of the House. He was removed as the House Speaker in a historic vote just hours after he tweeted out to Matt Gaetz, "Bring it on." Matt Gaetz responded after the vote in a tweet that said, "Just did." The vote, here's how it happened.
The yeas are 216. The nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
An historic moment. For the first time in the history of the United States, the Speaker of the House has been removed.
The first time in history it has been removed. The House Speaker vote to remove, 216 yes, 210 no. I go back to that tweet from the Speaker, Kev McCarthy, "Bring it on." And Matt Gaetz responded, "Just did," after he got rid of Kevin McCarthy as the Speaker of the House, costing him his job that he has wanted for forever. Now, before the vote, this is what Kevin McCarthy had said.
How's it feel, Speaker?
Feel good.
Are you hopeful that you're going to stay in the office?
Still stand by the idea that you're going to be Speaker of the House tonight.
Yes, look, I'm an optimist because I think there's no point of being anything else. I think this is a big honor to be able to be this. I think we've been very successful at different points. I just would not understand if there's a handful of Republicans who join Democrats who get to determine who's the Speaker of the House is, but it is what it is.
What about these Republicans who are opposed to you? I mean, what has gone on here? What do you think is their thinking?
And these are the same ones who opposed me before, and so they're turning the floor over to the Democrats.
And what does this say, the fact that you're the first Speaker to face this since 1910? I know that Joe Cannon obviously moved this resolution on his own, but the fact that you're facing this, doesn't that say something about the speakership, or is that the narrow majority, or just the fact that you have
No one thought about using it before until the Boehner part, and then Boehner didn't go through with me. I continue to work through it.
Yes, I know you don't like hypothetical questions, but if this goes to a speaker vote eventually, will you continue to stand for speaker vote after vote after vote?
Talk to me. We'll see what happens.
That doesn't sound like you're convinced.
What does this chaos say about Republicans right now?
You hear that last question. What does this chaos say about Republicans right now? Now, let's go to how this all happened. Matt Gaetz's vote succeeds in ousting McCarthy as a speaker. That's number one, the premise you need to understand. These are many of the people that said, hey, we're going to have some stipulations and rules. If we vote for you for speaker, without us, you can't be the speaker. And if you don't abide by these rules moving forward, we will come back after you and we will kick you out. Now, politically, you need to understand Democrats are loving this. This is why Democrats join the Republicans to get rid of Kevin McCarthy, because they think this makes him look like an idiot. This also is an amazing news cycle for Democrats, and here's why. Hunter Biden was in federal court today. No one has to cover that on the news now. Everyone is going to be talking about the story. Now, I promise you, I will be talking about that story. I want to make that very clear. I'm not going to let them distract. In fact, that's what my lead was supposed to be until this happened. And that changed everything, because this is obviously historic. But now the media doesn't have to pay attention to the impeachment inquiry of the president of the United States of America and the subpoenas and the fact that Hunter Biden was actually in a courtroom. So that's number one. Now, this vote was held by roll call in alphabetical order, and it succeeded 216 to 210. The only way this worked was for Democrats to join with Republicans. So let me explain to you who the Republicans were. Representative Andy Biggs, Republican from Arizona. Representative Ken Buck, a Republican from Colorado. Republican Tim Burchett from Tennessee. Republican Eli Crane from Arizona. Republican Bob Good from Virginia. Republican Nancy Mace, Republican from South Carolina. Matt Rosendale, Republican from Montana. And Matt Gaetz, Republican from Florida, all voted with Democrats to remove Kevin McCarthy. Now, why did the Democrats want to remove Kevin McCarthy? It wasn't really about Kevin McCarthy. They just wanted to screw with the Republicans and to send the Republicans into chaos, and that's exactly what has happened. There's no downside for Democrats on this one. They only have upside because now they control a news cycle. Now you look like you have a fractured Republican Party. Now you have even more infighting. Now you have to go through another speaker vote. They got to find a speaker, do all this crap all over again. This is a great day for Democrats. I want to make that clear. Now, does that mean I think they made a mistake in doing this, those Republicans that went with the Democrats? I'll explain more of that in a moment. But let's go back to this vote. The House voted on Representative Tom Cole, who's a Republican from Oklahoma, motion to table Gaetz's move to remove him as Speaker. It was rejected with the support of 10 House Republicans. Regarding his move to oust McCarthy, Gaetz said, quote, in fact, let me play it for you. I was going to read it, but I want you to hear what he said from the floor of the House.
My colleague says we passed the strongest border bills in history. Well, guess what? Look at the border right now. We didn't use sufficient leverage in the debt limit or in any other thing to actually get results on the border. The border is a disaster, really something I don't think you're going to be campaigning on, that you fixed the border. Second, you said you streamlined regulations. What the gentleman from Louisiana doesn't tell you is that all of the regulatory reform he was just bragging about is waivable by the stroke of a pen of someone in the Biden White House. Do you really think you've got anything for that? It's a total joke. And then finally, the welfare to work that the gentleman from Louisiana said we got. The welfare programs that they said that they streamlined with their welfare to work stuff, they're actually going to grow. Because while they did work requirements, they blew out those programs with expanded eligibility. I'm real glad you guys didn't put work requirements on Medicaid. It probably would have resulted in Medicaid expansion. And when it comes to how those raise money, I take no lecture on asking patriotic Americans to weigh in and contribute to this fight from those who would grovel and bend knee for the lobbyists and special interests who own our leadership, who have, oh, boo all you want, who have hollowed out this town and have borrowed against the future of our future generations. I'll be happy to fund my political operation through the work of hardworking Americans, $10 and $20 and $30 at a time, and you all keep showing up at the lobbyist fundraisers and see how that goes for you. I reserve.
He was being booed by the Republicans when he made that attack on them about the lobbyists. Now, Matt Gaetz said, I take no lecture from those who would grovel and bend knee for the lobbyists and special interests who own our leadership, hollow out this town, and borrow against the future of our future generations. Hashtag motion to vacate. Now, Cole said moving to oust McCarthy would plunge us into chaos. Representative Jim Jordan, who I have a lot of respect for, said that McCarthy had been rock solid as a leader in the House and believes he has kept his word. Here is what Jim Jordan said.
Third, we said the 118th Congress is about three things. Pass the bills that need passed, do the oversight work that needs to be done, and stop the inevitable omnibus that comes from the United States Senate right before the holidays. Kevin McCarthy has been rock solid on all three. We have passed the bills we told the American people we would pass. 87,000 IRS agents, that bill passed. Parents' Bill of Rights, that bill passed. Energy legislation passed. Border security, immigration enforcement legislation, the strongest bill ever to pass the Congress, passed earlier this year. We have done what we told them we were going to do. We can't help it. The Senate won't take up those good common sense bills. They'll have to answer to the American people come Election Day. Oversight. We have done the oversight that we're supposed to do. Because of our oversight, we know that parents were targeted by the Department of Justice. Because of our oversight, we know that 51 former intel officials misled the country weeks before the most important election we have. And because of our oversight, the Disinformation Governance Board at the Department of Homeland Security is gone. Because of our oversight, the memo attacking pro-life Catholics has been rescinded. Because of our oversight, unannounced visits to Americans' home by the Internal Revenue Service has stopped. That happened under Speaker McCarthy. And on the third one, on this side of it, we know there's a big old ugly bill coming at the end of the year. All kinds of spending, all kinds of garbage in it. We're still in that fight. Frankly, to Matt's point, we don't know how that one's going to shake out. But we do know this. We do know this. On Saturday, we didn't take the Senate's bill. They tried to send over and shove it down our throats on Saturday. We didn't take that bill. And it was a tough position he was in. There were five options on the table last week. Option one was to send a long-term CR over there that would have leveraged the 1% cut, something a bunch of us voted for, both parties. Couldn't get the votes for that one. Second option was to focus on the one issue the country now is completely focused on, the border issue. We couldn't get the votes for that one either. But when the Senate tried to send us that bill, he said no to it. I think the Speaker has kept his word. I know my colleagues and friends are saying different. I think he has kept his word on those three things that we talked about on January 3rd, frankly, that entire week. He has kept his word. I think we should keep him as Speaker. I yield back.
Now, I wanted to play for you what he had to say there, because I do believe it's important to hear both sides. It's easy to come out and to say, hey, Kevin McCarthy's a rhino. Get rid of him, right? The problem now is, who are we going to get? And who is the big winner today? I can tell you who it is. It's Democrats. They got to bury the big story, which was Hunter Biden in federal court and the problems Hunter Biden is going to have. They got to bury the story of this activist radical judge. And I'm going to expose this in a moment, who came out and said on the record, on video, that he has the right to overthrow a jury if his emotions tell him to. And they're winning today because of this. Now, is it worth it in the long run? I'm going to say, we'll see. I don't know yet. Are we going to get a better speaker because of this? We'll see. I don't know yet. All right, let me tell you real quick about an amazing company called Patriot Mobile. For 10 years, they have been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I'm proud to partner with Patriot Mobile. They offer you dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the leftist agenda. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, our veterans, and first responder heroes. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, making switching easy. You get to keep your same cell phone number, keep your same phone that you have right now, keep your same phone, or upgrade to a new one. And their team will help you find the best plan for your needs and save you real money. You got a small business? They can cover all that as well. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Ferguson. PatriotMobile.com/Ferguson or call them 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the promo code Ferguson. Join me and make the switch today and protect our values and stand for them with every phone call. PatriotMobile.com/Ferguson or 972-PATRIOT.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my, from this idea of, what is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The judge in the Donald Trump case in New York City has been forced to dismiss 80% of the New York Attorney General's case against Donald Trump. Why? Because the statute of limitations had already run on those charges. That tells you just how psychotic the AG in New York is. She knew this, but it didn't matter. She wanted to be famous. This is what narcissists do. And she wanted to make sure that it made big headlines about how much trouble Donald Trump is in. Well, guess what? 80% of that case is now gone. We also now know something else. We know that the judge on the record, this psycho judge who was, you know, smiling for the cameras and taking his glasses off like it was a made-for-TV moment, back in 2015 had some shocking things about to say about juries when they get it wrong, as he described it. I'm going to play that for you in a moment. Let me also tell you right now, Kevin McCarthy is fighting for his political future. There is a big showdown in Washington between McCarthy and others like Representative Matt Gaetz. So what does this mean? And who is ultimately winning on this fight over the speakership? Is it Republicans or is it actually Democrats? We're going to deal with that. But let me start with the other issue here. And that is the thing that the media doesn't want you to talk about. I wanted you to know I'm going to cover these other two issues. Don't worry. But the big issue is the fact that Hunter Biden was in federal court. He was in federal court on Tuesday, and this is how CBS described that appearance in federal court by Hunter Biden. Listen carefully. This is Catherine Heritage, the CBS News senior investigative correspondent, saying this about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden.
Well, Gail, good to be with you. This was an extraordinary scene that unfolded in the courthouse behind me. The son of a sitting president facing felony gun charges. As Hunter Biden entered the courtroom on the second floor, he passed by me. I was no more than about 5 feet away. And there was a sense of nervous energy, a nervous smile, a sense of real apprehension as we headed into the proceeding. It lasted about 20 minutes. The federal judge asked the president's son if he understood the charges, the potential serious penalties, and that he had a right to remain silent. And to each, he responded with a strong and soft voice, "Yes, Your Honor." And when it came time to enter the plea, that was done by his attorney, Abby Lowell, who said, "Mr. Biden pleads not guilty to the three charges." Gail, the next date on the calendar is early November, and we're already getting a sense of the defense team's strategy. They indicated to the court that they will file a motion to dismiss, and they are going to question whether one of the charges is constitutional, a charge that would ban a drug user from owning and obtaining a weapon in the United States. What's striking to me is that just 2 months ago, Hunter Biden entered this courthouse with a degree of optimism and a lot of confidence. But as we saw that plea deal collapse and I was inside that courtroom, what we see now is that the chapter is not closing for Hunter Biden or for his family or for his father, the president, Gale.
Let's go to the very last statement there. This is the statement, and I got to give Catherine Heritage a lot of credit at CBS News for being intellectually honest about this, because no one else is covering this in the media, period. And the ones that are certainly not covering it this way, which is why I'm leading with this show with this, because it's that important. What she said at the end was this: what we see now is that the chapter is not closing for Hunter Biden or for his father. She's connecting the Biden crime family to the kingpin, to the president of the United States of America. And that is the reason why she said he's so nervous. Now, the other thing about Hunter Biden is Hunter Biden thought this was all going to be swept under the rug. He had nothing to worry about. Everything was going to be fine. It's not anymore. It's not going to be fine. And there are real questions and real investigations going on right now. And this is going to be a major problem for the Biden crime family. Because if this does go the way that it's looking now, at the bare minimum, they are going to have to answer a lot more questions. A lot more questions about what they did and where the money came in. And if you missed, by the way, yesterday's, go back and grab our podcast from yesterday. Because yesterday I talked a lot about the newest allegations against the Biden crime family. And there's so many people that aren't covering this because they get to cover, you know, Donald Trump and in this court case that's happening right now. But there is a significant amount of information that has come out. And there's a now a reason not to cover it. Hell, you got to cover Kevin McCarthy right now, right? Matt Gaetz is going nuclear. Let's cover that. Hey, Donald Trump's in court. Let's cover that. Whatever we do, let's make sure that we do not cover what's going on with the Biden crime family. Now, there's also something else that's happened, and this is the polling number that is important, and it connects back to where people are right now mentally about where we are as a country. Bidenomics, something that they've been obsessed with touting in the Democratic Party now for I don't even know how long, since the day he got into office. They are now having to admit that the line that the economy is in great shape and everything's vigorous, and everything's wonderful, and the president's done a great job is not landing with the American people. Republican polling now lead on the economy. It has now jumped to a 32-year high. Again, you're not going to hear about this poll anywhere else. But the lead Republicans have over Democrats when it comes to economic prosperity has now reached its largest in 32 years. Polling from Gallup shows today, 53% of Americans said they think the GOP is more likely to, quote, do a better job of keeping the country prosperous, Gallup said in their new poll. Only 39% say they favor Democrats on the issues facing our economy right now. This 14-point gap is the widest for Republicans since 1991. It is also a significant increase from the 10-point lead Republicans enjoyed a year ago, jumping by four, up now to 14%. What does this mean? It clearly means that the Biden administration's efforts to lie to the American public and sell them on the alleged fake benefits of Bidenomics has backfired. In other words, the GOP polling advantage has not been this large since the country was still basking in the glow of the Reagan era prosperity, literally from Ronald Reagan's time. The economy, we also have from this polling, is now officially the top issue for around one third of Americans, according to Gallup's new poll. The next highest issue is government slash poor leadership, which directly correlates to the economy. And that comes in at 22%. What's the next significant issue to be on this level, even close to the economy, is the issue of immigration. Immigration is a top issue for 9% of the public right now. Their top issue. So 1 in 10 Americans is saying immigration now is my number one issue, period. This all spells bad news for Joe Biden and for the Democratic Party.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough. that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, from this idea of what, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Now, let me also go back to this really important and big story that deals with Donald Trump in court. I just didn't want the news cycle of the media to win by me putting this first because they didn't want to cover the Hunter Biden in jail thing, or I should say in court thing. They wanted to act like that wasn't happening. They didn't want to cover these horrific poll numbers for Hunter Biden and for Joe Biden and the trust issues and Bidenomics, right? They were hoping we could just lead with Trump, and I wasn't going to let them win. But it is important that we have found something out that is shocking about this scumbag judge in New York. There is some audio that has been unearthed with video from 2015 from the Trump judge. And what he had to say, he knew was controversial. How do we know this? Because the first thing he says is, now I'm going to say something controversial, even though I'm being taped. So he's admitting that what he's about to say is controversial and extreme, and he said it, not on an undercover video, he said it knowing he was being taped. Listen to this from this judge.
Now, I'm going to say something controversial, even though I'm being taped. Juries get it wrong a lot. That's my own opinion. I do only civil trials, personal injury cases, contract disputes. But I've had situations where, like, oh my heaven's sake, how could they have thought that? Well, I have a tool that I can deal with that. It's called judgment notwithstanding the verdict. I can say there is no possible way that a reasonable jury would have reached that conclusion. And all right, am I following the law or am I making law? Okay, I'm following law, I'm an impartial referee, but it's hard to factor out my own emotions, and I have tools. Somebody can say, well, Your Honor, you have to throw out this case because it's just like another case. Well, is it just like another case? What if the defendant was wearing a red sweater instead of a blue sweater? Oh, and by the way, I worked for the Columbia Daily Spectator for a couple of weeks. What happened was I went there every day and I wrote a few stories. One I got criticized on because I wrote that some Ku Klux Klanners had murdered some people, and I was told, you can't say that. How do we know? You aren't there. Well, that was what everybody thought. Anyway, yeah, we should have absolute immunity. What if we defame somebody? That's how it usually comes up. You know, you call somebody a murderer or a heroin addict, that sort of thing, a pedophile. And if it's done in court, yeah, I think we should have absolute immunity.
So this clearly is not a normal judge. This is an anarchist. This is a guy that says, I don't have to agree with the will of the people. I do not believe in a jury of your peers deciding your future. I, as a judge, can override a jury. In other words, that's just semantics. They're just going through motions. Now, if that jury agrees with my opinion, I'll let it stand. But if the jury doesn't agree, then I can just overrule them based on my own emotions about the case. Now, you just think about that. That is no rule of law. Okay. I'm not a lawyer. I want to be clear about that. All right. But do you want to live in a country where a judge doesn't have to go by the law? Do you want to live in a country where you can go before a judge, and depending on which judge you either get a fair and free trial, or you get a biased trial from a judge that decides that you're guilty because they don't like you and they don't like your politics. They don't follow the law. Let's just go to that. Do you want to go in front of a judge that says the laws, the rule of law does not apply to you in my courtroom? I get to decide based on, and again, I'm going to use his words, I can overrule them based on my own emotion. So let's just say that he doesn't like my demeanor. Let's say he doesn't like my tie. Let's say he doesn't like my politics. Let's say he Googles me and finds out what I do for a living. And maybe the case has nothing to do with Ben Ferguson being a conservative. This judge could then say, well, based on my emotions, I don't like Ben Ferguson, so therefore I want Ben Ferguson to go to jail. That's so different than what's happening right here with Donald Trump. And you, if you haven't seen the video, I put it up on social media. You can follow me on Instagram. I put it up there. Ben Ferguson Podcast is my handle on Instagram. When the judge, who knew that he was letting the, you know, the cameras in his courtroom, that was his decision, they're there. He acts like he didn't know they were there. Then he smiles, takes his glasses off, mugging for the camera. Is that the type of person you want deciding on the future of the rule of law? I would hope that most of you would say that terrifies you, because it should terrify you. Because if this judge can do this and basically says, hey, look, I know there's laws, I know there's a constitution, but I don't have to follow it. I can overrule it based on my emotions. Hell, I don't have to follow what a jury says. I don't have to follow what a jury trial decides. I don't have to follow what the people say. See, this goes back to what happened to Trump in 2016. When Democrats couldn't handle the fact they lost an election that they believed that they were owed it. And it was Hillary Clinton, and it was this moment to break the glass ceiling. Remember the visual that night that was supposed to be the looking up and the ceiling being broken, right, from that glass event place where they were going to have her, you know, coronation to be God of America. And it didn't happen. Then the psychos were, you know, crying and screaming and yelling. And they're like, well, wait, we can't give up on this dream. We can get this dream back. How do we get this dream back? Oh, I know what we'll do. What we'll do is we'll just overthrow the will of the people. We'll accuse Donald Trump of colluding with Russians and Russian banks, and then we'll put this dossier together that we create out of thin air that we pay for, the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton paid for. That's a fact. That happened. And then we'll use that to impeach him. And then when we impeach him, it will be game on. And that's all we have to do. That is the game plan. That's how we pull this off. And they did it. They tried to overthrow the will of the people. They tried to overthrow the will of the people, and they tried to do everything that they possibly could do to make sure that they got what they wanted, which was the White House at all costs. And then they impeached him a second time. Never forget that. And then they altered and changed the way we do our elections to make sure they could beat Donald Trump. Never forget that. And now you have these judges. By the way, 80% of the case has been thrown out because of the statute of limitations. A case where everybody got paid back. There's no one claiming they were defrauded. There's no bank claiming they didn't get paid by Donald Trump. There's no one that's claiming that they suffered because of any of these charges against Donald Trump. It doesn't matter, though, because these charges to them are about making sure that he is no longer in this race. They want him in prison. And when you have a judge that says it the way that this judge said it, you know it's real and authentic. This is when you know America is teetering. And we are in that moment. We are teetering as a nation right now. We are teetering as a nation right now because we have now judges that are saying, I don't have to abide by the law. And I don't have to abide by what the jury decides in a court case if I don't like the decision they made. And that can apply to a court case with a former president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. Let me also say one other thing. This is why elections are so important, especially when it comes to people that are running for judge or those that are running for office that then appoint judges. This is why it is so important. And people don't understand that. They don't know who their judges are. They don't know what they do. They don't know what they believe in. They don't know how they rule on cases. They just pick a name. Most people have no clue who the judges are. And these people have the power to ruin your life. Don't ever forget that. And we better wake up, because Democrats have been finding these psychos and putting them on the court, and they're doing a damn good job of it. Make sure you share this podcast with your family and friends. Please make sure you share this podcast with your family and friends. And I'll see you back here tomorrow.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie, because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.